KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. What day is it? Saturday?
It is Saturday.
Does anybody even have the date? I have no idea. It's 10-6, so it's October 6th.
October 6th.
Okay, great. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And our all-around great soundboard gal and operator and all good things.
Keep talking. I like that. Hi, Mark. Hi, Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Also, we have a special person in our chat room. In the sound room.
It's really special person.
It's a special person. She fit inside the little box. Her name is Elizabeth Betancourt, and she's here to make some announcements. Good morning, Elizabeth. And then we also have our very, very, very special guest, Aaron Moretti. And I actually said his name properly, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to be running for sheriff against Tom Bosanko in 2014, and so we wanted to introduce everybody to him and see what he has to say about running for sheriff and all the above.
Yeah, all the issues that we got coming down the pike.
Absolutely. So let's see. The chat room's open at 1460kcnr.com.
KCNR1460.com. You were close.
Okay. Hey, I'm trying here. Come on, you know.
If you want to call in, the number is 605-45-67.
Yeah, we're on our game today, folks.
Okay.
Maybe I should just say that those things are
That's what you're for. We knew we needed you, Rachel.
That's true. Without Rachel, we're nothing. So go to the chat room. It's KCNR1460.com, and the telephone number is 530-605-4567. Let's see. Got any announcements on veterans?
Yeah, coming up on Monday, October 8th, we have a coterie out in Happy Valley for all the veterans. Coterie.
What's a coterie?
It is like where they can go and be with the horses and,
I do that every morning. I just have to feed them. I got my horse named, I should have named it Bill. Vet Bill, Vet Bill.
But this is open from 10 a.m. to noon. Refreshments will be there for them, and it's for all veterans of all wars. So they can go out there and, have fun with the horses and talk with them and walk around with them and do all kinds of good stuff out there. And the address is 1617 Renee Court in Happy Valley, and the phone number is 341-2242, and that's Jim Buescher out there. So.
Okay, very good. Have we got any Tea Party announcements? Who's on Monday?
We have the candidates for City Council, Gary Cadd, Missy MacArthur, and Dick Dickerson.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so that would be a great debate to attend to.
All right, very good. First quote of the day is from Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?
Wow.
I like that. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about the prostitutes today. That's the prostitutes, not the prostitutes. The prostitutes, that's, our the news media. Let's get right to it. Let's talk to Elizabeth here. She has some announcements to make, and then we can get on to Mr. Moretti. and go from there. So good morning, Elizabeth. What do you have to say
good
to
morning, Mark? Actually, that quote is a perfect transition into what I was wanting to say. I am Elizabeth Betancourt. I'm from the Yes on 37 campaign to label genetically modified food in California. And if you want more information on that, you can either go to the website at californiarighttoknow.org or email me at labelgmosreading@gmail.com. And part of that campaign, we're working with local volunteers to get the word out. We have someone at the library today, so say hi to Mark if you go
awesome.
To the library.
Awesome. And what time is that?
He'll be handing out information in front of the library between, I think, 10 and noon today.
Okay.
And Flo will be handing out information at the farmer's market this morning. The farmer's market goes till noon. I think it's probably already started. But, yeah, we have volunteers active throughout Reading and throughout Shasta County. And part of the deal there is getting education out, getting the word out about Proposition 37. There's a lot of pretty deceptive ads from the No campaign. So part of that education event is to announce Jeffrey Smith. He's coming to Reading. I'm sure that a lot of people are familiar with his work. He's an expert on genetically modified food and its effects on humans and animals and our health.
So we're going to be able to have you guys back, and when we get you, you know, some time to really talk about this stuff, Saturday the 19th, I believe, is what we're shooting for. Or the 20th. It's the 20th.
Smith will be here on the 19th, the evening of the 19th, and then,
So the day after the 19th is the 20th.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Very good.
On the 19th, where will he be and the time and
He'll be at Sequoia Middle School at McLaughlin Auditorium.
Okay.
We have a reception from 6 to 7. We'll have some food and music, and then the event actually starts at 7.
Very good. So everybody get out there and check that out, because I have concerns. The Republican Party is saying to not vote yes on 37 because of the entanglements in the law and those things, and I want to be able to address those with you guys to make sure, because anything that Monsanto's backing, I'm probably against, but I want to make sure that the law is good too, because we know how laws are written and sometimes they're all messed up. So
sometimes you got to vote no for yes and yes for no and all that good
stuff.
That's
confusing.
Yes is no, no is yes.
Yeah
evil
know.
Is good. No,
yeah.
I got that one wrong. Moving right along, but I'm bumped. What else we got here? Anything, are we getting ready for a break, or should we continue to talk? We can continue to talk anytime we want.
There we go. We can do that.
3 minutes?
Okay. So that's going to be on the 19th, and do you have a phone number or anything for people to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. You can call me at home. I'm out in Happy Valley, 357-2321, if you want more information on it, or if you're willing to get information out to people. All of these folks that I've mentioned that where they're going to be handing out information, I have given them stacks of flyers.
Good.
So if you have 10 people or 100 people you'd like to give information to, ask them, and they will give you that information.
Okay. And I think we'll have that available at the Tea Party on Monday night, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think the big thing is they're saying it's going to put a lot of pressure on the small businesses. You don't have one label. This is parroting, basically, what I was told by one of the staffers. Is that, you have one label in your Ma and Pa food store down on Happy Valley Road or something, and all of a sudden you're getting a lawsuit because you don't have a GMO label on it. That seems to be the big fear, is what I'm hearing.
Well, and they wouldn't actually be suing the store, because it's not the store's responsibility to label.
Right.
It would be, Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Or whatever, which actually these companies already label their items in 50 other countries around the world. So it wouldn't
just not
be
here.
Exactly. So it wouldn't be something different for them. It would be different for us.
So it wouldn't be an added extra cost for them to go ahead and put everything they need to on the label.
They change their labeling every 6 to 12 months anyway. You go look for something in the store and it looks different. You can't find it. So, it's a pretty normal thing.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's good.
Cool. We got 1 minute. Want to tell a joke, or should we dance?
Two politicians walk into a bar.
Be careful. Be careful where you go with that one.
All the jokes I'm thinking of, I probably can't tell.
Yeah, right. Rachel's already on the button over there, so.
Okay, the Lone Ranger and Tonto went into a bar.
Whoa.
No, this is a good one. It's a good one,
So. I'm Native American.
It's okay. This one works. This one works for everybody. So Lone Ranger's in the bar, and You know, he's sitting there drinking, and outside Tondo's running around his horse. And, you know, everybody asks him, he says, you know, what's up with Tondo running around the horses out there? And he says, oh, don't worry, I just left him running. You know, his engine running.
No, that doesn't work.
Doesn't work for you?
Oh. Sorry. Oh, come on.
I thought it was a good one. It was nice and clean.
Yeah, everything. You didn't have to hit the button or anything over there.
Except the engine part. That's.
He left the
engine
running.
Before we go to a break, again, that is on the 19th at Sequoia Middle School. And it starts at 6?
It does.
All right. That's so there you go, folks. I hope to see you down there. And get your information. And I guess we got to go to a break. This is 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
And we'll be right back with Mr. Moretti.
And we'll be right back with our guest.
Yes. Thanks, Elizabeth.
That it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Three little words that will change your life forever. You have cancer. You also have choices. At Pace Cancer Center, we believe that the battle against cancer can be fought with a positive attitude, care, and excellent medicine. Dr. Pramila Danuka is a board-certified oncologist, and she is offering the highest level of care for cancer patients for over 10 years. At Pace, you'll discover why hundreds of local cancer survivors have chosen Pace Cancer Center for treatment. To learn more about your choices available at Pace Cancer Center, call 247-1425.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
This Sunday, We the People celebrate 2 years of being on the radio as we welcome back Cameron Gamble of Project Taken, the Captivity Survival Training Program. We'll review the how-tos of keeping you and your family safe and find out about Cameron's latest endeavors on We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Having way too much fun in here.
Yeah, whip it good. I don't know why I queued that one up, other than maybe I had a headache last night.
Good boy.
Yeah, exactly. Do I have a pen? I didn't get a pen.
Yeah, she gave you one, but you already lost it.
Oh, there it is right there.
Okay. We're back, folks.
I've been fighting off a headache all night, and I doped up with some sinus pills and so forth, so I'm kind of a little bit fuzzy this morning, if you will, which makes me more funny, I guess.
Who drove in today?
Yeah.
Take the fifth one.
I take the fifth on that one, too.
We flew in.
Okay.
Kind of.
Okay.
We just moved right along.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so we're back in the studio. And our guest is here, Aaron Moretti.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good morning, sir.
Good.
Where do you want to get started? Let's maybe just give us some of your background. I noticed on the way in, I was listening, and your father was a sheriff. And
that's right. Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us about yourself.
Sure. Raised here in Reading. For the most part, unfortunately, my folks divorced when I was a young guy, and so I grew up here in Reading with my mom, my grandmother, Bernita Nicolette, and my grandfather, Paul Nicolette, were locals here in town. Paul was a builder in the Bonneville area, and that's why there's Nicolette Lane and some of the houses down there he built and was responsible for. Okay. My grandma was a school bus driver here in the 20s and 30s and 40s, so... You know, I got far-reaching family here in the Reading area, and my father was sheriff of Delmarva County in the 90s, so in the late 80s. So I kind of grew up with my dad as the head of the house, being the sheriff. So he was more of just a regular guy to me rather than a sheriff. But I certainly went to work with him and watched him what he did there, and realized there's nothing secret about it. You know, it's just knowing the law and doing the right thing.
Right. Well, it sounds like you must have had a big impact because you're in law enforcement. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I used to go out with Dad when he was still a sergeant and do ride-alongs when I was a younger guy. Cool. And it's addictive. And it really is. That adrenaline rush is, boy, what can I tell you? It's addictive. You turn the lights and start on and chasing somebody, and, well, that's a hard one to beat.
That sounds like fun.
It is. It's a great time. Come out sometime and ride. You'll get addicted
to take you guys up on that.
Do ride-alongs still?
Oh, yeah. We had a father-son team ride along with us last night, and the son's interested in law enforcement, and the father's retired, and they came out with us and rode along last night, and we were chasing a wanted felon at large, and he was known to be armed, and chasing him all over the east side of Reading, and so they got to be part of that, too, so he got to see the exciting part of it there.
Oh, cool.
If anybody's wondering what those lights and sirens were last night about 9, 10 o'clock, that's wow. What we were doing.
I'm usually listening on the scanner a lot. I didn't catch that one.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so let's just dive right into it, I guess. I mean, the first subject that I'd like to bring up, and I've talked to Mr. Basenko. Sorry, we've been inundated with politicians lately.
I
don't even know.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I almost want to bring up the debate thing the other night because, God, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Anyway, getting back on track here, talking about federal money and federal overreach and federal control of the local governments, you know, whether it's, like I say, I've talked with Basenko about this, and he tells me that there's no, it's specific how the money is spent. And so forth, and there's no strings attached, but I find that hard to believe because when you're getting, I'm not sure what the figures are, but you're getting all this money pouring in for all this nice new equipment and so forth. I think that, if you don't play ball with the feds, they pull the strings on your money. And that seems to be the issue for me.
There's a direct reporting. You have to label every single thing you buy. Every single dime that is spent is reported back. And they take a look at that and go, yeah, this is good, this is good. Oh, no, we're not paying for this secretary's salary over here doing this thing, or we're not going to pay for these new firearms or whatever. So they have to account for everything. So the federal government definitely has strings tied to every dime that is spent.
Well, that's it. In other words, if they don't like the way you're spending the money on their specific projects, then they pull the cash. Is that a good way
of
putting it?
Sure it is. They're going to ask that you follow a certain list of expectations, and you need to meet these expectations. If it's not done, then next year we're not going to give you any money.
I see. And that seems to me, because of the federal overreach, they could just about pull that money, if they're mad at you about anything, under the auspices of not liking the way you're funding things. I mean, that's my big concern, is that federal overreach, because they're doing it at every level.
What I don't like about it is there's some, and I forgive me those of you who push pencils, but there's some guy in an office building someplace in Washington, D.C., pushing a pencil. He's never been to California. He's never been to Shasta County. And he is telling us how to do our jobs. He's telling us the way things should be done. And I think it's wrong. I think that should be done locally. We should decide what's important and what our focus should be.
I agree. I mean, that's been my big problem with this whole drug war. Number one, I don't think it's working. It's like prohibition. It didn't work. Number two, I think it should be at the local level, not the federal jurisdiction, because if you think back to the bootlegging that was done during Prohibition, the feds had to change the Constitution to outlaw alcohol.
Correct.
So why do they not have to change the Constitution now to outlaw drugs?
Well, they're not even enforcing the laws that are on the books now.
Right.
And that's what frustrates me a lot with the marijuana decisions in California. It's federally, it's unlawful, but no one's enforcing that law federally. And we're catching guys with hundreds of pounds of marijuana. We go up to these woods and do it. That's my big question. Why do we go up here into the woods risking life and limb of not just the officers, but the people who are growing it and those who are in the middle?
Right.
And who's going to enforce this stuff?
Yeah, and then you got guys growing it in town legally, and it doesn't really matter. See, there's an inconsistency there.
Huge inconsistency.
The feds need to get out of it and let it go back to the local levels. If the people want to outlaw it locally, that, my opinion, is fine, outlaw it. But the feds need to get out of the business.
Right, and I'm with you 100% on that. I will follow the law that is dictated by California and Redding and Shasta County, and we'll follow those laws, and that's the way our Constitution was set up and designed.
Right.
Years ago, our forefathers said the power of government rests with the people locally, not federally 3,000 miles away.
It was a limited government set up.
That's right.
And they wanted to, then the powers were enumerated. It wasn't the opposite. Like now, anything that it didn't specifically bar them against, they say they can do, basically.
Right.
So that brings us right onto the other issue of constitutional protection, and that's going to be a big thing. And anybody who's going after the sheriff position, especially in light of all that's been happening, is we want people who are going to enforce the Constitution in that position of sheriff, period. And not the federal laws, because the federal laws are out of control. We want to get back to the Constitution and limited government. And so that's going to be a big issue for you as you're campaigning. And you know, we want to make sure that we understand your position on
it. I have obviously felt that the Second Amendment was the most important for me, as sheriff, is one of the most important laws that we follow, and make sure that those who want to bear arms are allowed to do that.
So you're for concealed carry?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one.
The more
thing
the better.
That's one thing I'll say about Tom. He's been great on the concealed carry and so forth, and we want that to continue, obviously, because especially with realignment. I mean, we've got some serious problems coming down the pipe economically. Despite what the politicians are saying in Washington, this is not going to get better anytime soon, because if you look at the budget numbers, they can't balance the budget right now except by either defaulting on programs or by printing up the shortfall. So either way, you either cut programs or you devalue the money across the board.
Raise inflation, correct.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So that's the issue. So constitutionally, that's going to be the position for a lot of people. I'm talking about the original Constitution, not the new one.
Yeah.
So we have a caller on line one. Go ahead, Linda.
Yeah. Greg, are you there?
Yeah.
Do you have a question?
I had a question in reference to carry licenses. PC 26150 gives police chiefs and sheriffs authority to issue licenses to carry. And a little further down in PC 26155, it describes two different forms of licenses. One is for concealed carry, and the other is for loaded and exposed. I was wondering if Sergeant Moretti was, if he's elected sheriff, prepared to issue both forms of licenses to residents.
You know, the exposed weapon brings up some questions, and I would be okay with it, but I'd want to know why. Why do you want to carry exposed versus concealed? And I think there's an interview process that should go along with both of these types of licenses, just to find out what's going on. What are you doing? There's legitimate reasons for both, and I would be more than willing to talk with folks and listen to both. One of my rubs with the current administration is it takes a long time to get a concealed license, and I think that thing needs to be sped up. There's no reason for it to take so long. And some friends of mine just spent the last several months trying to get their license and finally got it.
It's expensive,
It's expensive, and it takes a long time. And I'd like to see that.
Yeah,
you're actually talking
to somebody who's been waiting 8 months for a response.
There you go. Perfect example. And have you done your interview at the Sheriff's Department yet?
Yeah, that's all been done.
Okay. Were you frustrated with that process? Because I know the folks that I've talked to have been disappointed and upset when they walk out of the door of the Sheriff's Department with the way they were treated and with the way they were interviewed, and they felt like they were shortchanged a bit. And I want to stop that also.
Right. Well, basically, the reason why I'm asking these questions in reference to carry licensing is I just wanted to feel you out and see if you were actually open to the idea of issuing both forms of licenses.
Well, yeah, like I said, I would be. I just want to know, my only question is, why do you want to do it? And I know the Constitution says, a well-regulated militia, and we should be allowed to bear firearms. But we all got to admit there's one or two people out there that we all know that probably shouldn't carry a gun.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Unfortunately. And so I just want to know why. What do you got? What's going on? And then be more than happy to sign the dotted line.
All right. Super. Very good. If you got anything else, Craig?
No, that's it.
All right, very good. We're about ready to go to a break. We got Terry on the line, but we'll get back to him after the break. So hang on there, Terry. We'll be right back with you.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've changed my Saturday show, Positively Healthy, to include more local chiropractors. Listen to Dr. Todd Royce, Dr. Dave Paris, Dr. Maria Salas, and me. We're on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Be listening to Positively Healthy, and you might just learn something that could change your life. Again, that's Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460.
Big Bike Weekend is here and it's bigger than ever. October 13th, the Shasta Center becomes Sport Bike Row, featuring the return of the swimwear competition, plus live music from Uptown, beer garden, displays, demo rides, vendors, and more. Watch Metal Militia rider Nick Dunn perform his amazing aerial action, plus the Power Curve Pit Pass experience. It's free, nonstop action all throughout the day and into the night. Big Bike Weekend, Sport Bike Row at the Shasta Center, October 13th. Brought to you by Shasta Center, Huber's Furniture, and NorCal Brewing Solutions.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Back. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire. Shasta Redding, and we've got
Mr. Terry on the line. Are you there?
Yep.
I'm here. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you doing?
Morning, Terry. Good. Hey, Officer Reddy, how are you
doing? Good morning, sir.
Good. Anyway, a couple things. One is, are you familiar with Support Rural America?
Yes.
My wife and I do those.
Okay, good.
We're the ones who do the programs. We do every one of them.
Oh, okay.
We've had eight of them, and our sheriff has showed up at two.
Yeah. I know the Del Norte sheriff showed up at almost all of them, I think, hasn't he?
Pardon me?
The Del Norte sheriff, hasn't he showed up at almost all of them?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did the Del Norte sheriff show up at all of them? Dean Wilson?
Dean Wilson?
Was he there at all of them?
A lot of them, Lopey and all that. In fact, we were with Lopey's yesterday up in Mount Shasta. We were with them.
Good people.
But the thing is that the question I have is that we're finding that sheriffs like Haney, who's from out of the area, Chief Paletti, who I think is sort of a breath of fresh air. What I get concerned about is the good old boy situation here where somebody's been born and raised, and by gosh, by golly, they get kind of groomed for the job, and we end up with a lot of the same stuff. Again, I appreciate the sheriff's position on concealed weapon permits, but some of the other things, you know, there was a water meeting about a week and a half ago. It was simply something that was a an informational situation, and one of the sheriffs were back in there. He had bars on his collar, and he was there. I'm not sure of whose request. I'm not so sure Tom sent him, but he was there just to be in the back room to make sure that the right questions were asked, and anyway, that was sort of a thing that that we saw there. I don't think Tom sent him. And to me, I look at things like favors are being done. Again, these sheriffs that are newer from a different area come here to live and say, hey, I want to be part of the community, build my family. I want to know how you stand and where you're coming from, because you've been here all your life. You're connected with a lot of people who have been here all their life. How does that work as far as the inside good old boy thing?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not an inside good old boy. Sorry if that's what some folks were looking for. I left Redding, Shasta County, and went to L.A. for almost 10 years and worked in the south central portion of Los Angeles County as a deputy sheriff. And I came back up here because I wanted to raise my family in what was God's country when I left. And when I came back, I'd seen that the area had deteriorated quite a bit. Drugs had really taken over. And what frustrated me and still frustrates me to this day is that I think that some of the good old boys at the top have allowed this culture to continue on when things could have been done, steps could have been put into place to stop some of it. So I'm not your good old boy, and some of the top brass at the sheriff's department may be upset if I become sheriff, because my list of expectations is going to be quite a bit different than what current list of expectations are.
Thank you so much.
You betcha.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Terry, for the call-in.
Very good. Well, let's hit unions, because that's going to be another big subject. Yep. We might as well get it on the table.
Let's do
it. Yeah, they're going to be asking a lot of questions and okay, how you absolutely feel about the unions okay and their pension and everything.
Sure.
So,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's a big issue across the board yep in America, is this civil service unions. And I'm not against unions. I'm against civil service unions particularly, because, you know, they shouldn't be involved in direct negotiations with the politicians on salaries, and the taxpayers are left out of the loop. And that's why we're imploding financially, at least one of the reasons that we're imploding financially across the country, is the unions have gone overboard basically they're killing the goose that laid the golden egg here to a big degree by guaranteeing pensions and, just on PERS, 7% guarantee, while the market's doing 1%, and then we pick up the shortfall. Well, it's unsustainable. So, you know, let's talk about some of those issues with the unions.
Sure. I've helped negotiate some of those contracts. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but I've actually sat on some of those boards and helped negotiate those contracts. I never got anything from the city that they weren't willing to give. So I know a lot of people have a big rub with the unions. We're not allowed to strike. The police department, police officers, were never allowed to take any job action. In other words, we're not going to go to calls. You know, right, we're not allowed to do that. We still have to do our job. The only thing we can do is go in and negotiate, hoping that we can get the best deal possible.
And I understand that, but at the same time, right now, what's happening is that the general public is out there dying on the vine, and now everybody's going to end up either taking a cut across the board,
right, right,
period, and it's going to be either voluntary or forced at some
right
point.
Well, I know that the last two rounds of negotiations, the boards that I was involved with stepped forward and took voluntary cuts and offered up money ahead of time before our contracts were due to help with the budget. And as far as the 3-at-50 formula goes and pensions go, I've offered up on air and in print otherwise that this formula needs to change.
Absolutely.
And it particularly needs to change for management level. I don't think that the 3-at-50 formula is appropriate for the guy in charge, for his deputy commander, for his division chiefs, whatever you want, captains, lieutenants. Those guys sit behind a desk all day long. They're not in harm's way. They're not right driving cars fast, having to chase the bad guy. They're not jumping over fences, running after bad guys in backyards, or looking for the heroin addicts in the alleys in the middle of the night.
Right.
The beat cop is. And you probably don't want a 60-year-old beat cop.
Sure.
You probably want a guy who's 25 to 30, who's young and trim and ready to fight for those freedoms that we've sure all done. So I feel that if you promote and go up into the agency, the formula needs to change.
I agree, because what we've got too is we've got double dipping. We've got going out on a pension, what's 100%, you know, and everybody seems to get hurt in the last year.
Sure, sure.
You know, and so there's the system's being gamed at all at the upper levels, especially, and it does need to change. We need to go to, we got a caller on the line.
Okay. We have a caller. Chris, are you there?
I am.
Do you have a question for, Sergeant Moretti?
I do.
Good morning, Chris.
Jimmy Carter is my favorite president. And I have a saying, Jimmy Carter has a way of cleaning up the USA. And I want to know if you support Jimmy Carter.
Well, Chris, I thank you for your call and for the bit of humor this morning. I needed it. I'm tired from working graveyard all night. But, no, Jimmy Carter was not my favorite. I thought he was weak-kneed.
But he cleaned up the USA.
Lily-livered.
Jimmy Carter has a way of cleaning up the USA.
Thanks, Chris.
Boy, that's tongue-in-cheek there. Yeah. Right?
I just want to go on record. I don't like Jimmy Carter. I think he's probably a nice guy, but he wasn't my favorite.
Well,
president.
Obama's
your favorite.
Obama's a nice guy, too, but
not
he's,
my favorite.
He's not,
well, I don't know if you could call him really a nice guy.
I don't know, but,
but
the perception is he's a nice guy, but the country's going right down the old tube here. Yeah.
Real quick.
I'm against all of this, federal government. You know, obviously everybody knows I'm a libertarian and they all need to start following the Constitution. That was the big thing for me in this last debate. They never talked about the Constitution once. You know, they talked about the 10th Amendment one time about states' rights, but then they both support the NDAA. They both support the Patriot Act. They support all of these overreaches into our rights. You know, you can, jail a citizen without due process for any length of time. The president actually has the power to kill anybody he wants, stateside. Yeah. That's all. Yeah,
it's important.
And all that's been given to him, and you know that slow encroachment is right. Well, you know the thing is, right now maybe this guy's a great guy and he doesn't enforce any of that. But what happens when we vote Attila the Hun in? You know, we never know who Attila's going to be because Attila doesn't stand up there and go, hey, I'm the Hun.
Attila's the guy who doesn't have to run 4 years from now.
Right.
He's got a lock.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, we end up in a dictatorship here and all of this stuff is everything. What people don't realize is everything Hitler did was legal. He didn't start out being Hitler. He ended up being Hitler. So they took over the rights of the people incrementally. And the first thing they took over was health care. That's why that is such a big issue. So, you know, not taken away from what we're talking about here, but those are the kind of things that we want our sheriff to say, enough's enough. You've overstepped your bounds on the constitutional enumerated powers that were given to you, and we want our sheriff to say, no, not in my county. We're not going to do it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got to get back to the local level on this.
Like I said from the very beginning, when I was a kid growing up, we were taught that the local level was supposed to be the most powerful.
Yep.
And no one in D.C. was supposed to be telling us how to run our city and our counties. And I agree with you on that. That's the way it should be. We should be making our own decisions for what's good for us here.
Well, and a lot of it is always attached to the money, unfortunately. One thing that Romney said that they were trying to ram him around, is the 47%. Well, the real truth is that was actually a pretty close to correct statement, that 47% of the people out there are dependent on government money from the feds. And it's pretty hard to vote against the guys that are not funding you.
Drive through one of our low-income hotels downtown, and you'll run into young children who are being raised with aid. And then you'll run into their parents who grew up being raised in aid, and finally to their grandparents.
Yeah, it becomes generational.
And this is a third and fourth generation. Some of these folks go back to the Johnson era of the Great Society, and we're still seeing the effects of that to this day.
You know, and I think that if we get this all back to the churches and the charities, it's going to work, because that's how it used to work. It's when you start having the government administer this stuff that you start running into problems, because they don't administer much of anything well.
Not right. to our advantage, that's for sure. They don't care about that at all.
Well, government innately is self-serving to a degree, especially at the federal level. So, we got 1 minute for a break here. I don't want to take over your time either. My son just walked in. He's going to get the nail gun, Rich. But,
well, maybe when we come back from the break.
You look at me and smile.
Well, maybe when we come back from the break, Aaron, you can tell us some of your plans that you might have.
I would love to do that.
And let the people know where you're headed with it.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
There we go.
Okay.
Is your car a lemon? Ever get a chance to tell that salesman what he could do with that lemon? On October 11th, the Shasta College Theater opens a car dealership that only sells lemons. Lemons, a hilarious adult comedy by Kent Broadhurst, plays evenings October 11th to the 20th with a Sunday matinee on October 14th. For performance times and ticket information, go to shastacollege.edu/theater or get your tickets at the box office before each performance of Lemons.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
Hey, Papa Bear.
Yeah, Sugar Bear.
Remind me again why we're out here.
To get in touch with our inner bear.
Our inner bear? What's that?
Yep, our inner bear.
Couldn't we just do that at home?
Oh, come on. Get in the spirit. We need to find the words to truly channel our never-ending, all-consuming need to feed people huge portions of great-tasting food at modest prices.
Couldn't we just tell them about all of our home-style meals we offer and how we make things with the freshest ingredients, never any freeze-dried or prefabricated stuff?
Well,
and how we never compromise quality while maintaining reasonable prices.
Well, now that does kind of have a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
Hey, Bob.
Yeah?
Did you have to bring a real bear?
Real bear? Okay, don't panic.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
Free. Is anything really free anymore? The answer is yes. Did you know that Gone for Free Recycling will come to your home or office and remove your old electronics and appliances for free, working or not? TVs, computers, monitors, refrigerators, microwaves, washers, and dryers, the list goes on and on. All removed at no cost to you. Just call 357-GONE. That's 357-4663 and make an appointment today. Or check out their website at goneforfree.com. Your old electronics and appliances will be gone for free.
Yama, no problem.
Everything will be all right.
You guys have quite an eclectic mix of music here.
It's I have a lot of fun with it. Yeah, you know, I set it all up
from Devo to Bob Marley. That's pretty good.
You just never know what might be playing. You know?
Yeah, I had a couple in mind that I just kind of had a list and I go through them and then I kind of call them out as I'm going.
Some
of them I'm like, oh, that would be so good, but no.
Yeah, there's a few we really want to play, but we haven't done it yet.
They have to be at the appropriate time sometime, depending on
I believe we have a caller on the line from Oregon. Kirby, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking my call.
I just have
one question. Even though I can't influence the success or failure of his election, I would like to know if he's aware of the Constitutional Sheriffs Association.
We've been talking about that this morning, I think. The rural sheriffs have been meeting all over the Josephine or the
all of Southern Oregon and Northern California.
Right,
but
yeah.
I think he's also talking about there's also another organization. I believe you're referring to the Sheriff Mack organization. Is that what you're talking about?
No, sir. You're not familiar with the Constitutional Sheriffs Association. That's the name of it.
Right.
And some of the sheriffs in Northern California are part of that, like the sheriff from Del Norte, Siskiyou County, and the one in the east part of Northern California. I can't remember the name of that one, but anyway, they're part of that.
That's the rural America, I think, is what you're speaking of then.
Well, that's part of it. Yes, so that's part of it. And there's a program going on right now in Reno that's started today and lasts till Monday, I believe, for constitutional sheriffs. And I think that it's important that more sheriffs be involved in that. And even like I said before, I can't influence the outcome of your election. Listening to and check out the constitutional sheriff's program and make sure the person they vote for believes in the Constitution. And you mentioned earlier that I'm not familiar with the concealed carry laws in California, but if you have to interview people, those people that apply for a concealed carry permit are probably not going to give you any problems. They're probably not criminals. It's the criminals that don't apply for concealed carry. So the more you prevent people from gaining a concealed carry permit, the more crime you're going to see, because an armed society is a polite society, in my opinion. And if you look at the laws throughout the country and those states that have more lenient concealed carry laws have less crime. And I know that Shasta County, as well as Siskiyou County and Del Norte County, have a high drug problem with the cartels coming in and growing drugs, and that's their biggest problem, so saith the sheriffs.
I would disagree with that. I think the sheriff that you listened to talking about Shasta County's crime is flat wrong. I don't think that the cartels coming in here are clearly they present a problem, but that's not our number one crime problem in Shasta County. I think
I didn't say it was your number one crime problem. Like I said, I don't know about Shasta County.
Oh, okay.
I know the other counties are having that problem.
What is our number one crime problem in Shasta County, in your opinion?
Are you asking me or Kirby?
I'm asking you.
You know, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I think drug use is probably one of our highest problems. It leads to theft and lots of other issues.
Drug related is what you're saying.
Assault in the homes and everything else. A lot of it is centered around drugs. A lot of it truly is.
Hmm. Well, I'm just going to get off the air.
Thank you, Kirby.
I've taken up too much time, but just for everybody listening, look into the Constitutional Sheriff's Program. And make sure that the person you select believes in the Constitution and supports the Constitution over any federal invasion of our constitutional rights. And thank you very much, and good luck on your campaign.
Thank you, Kirby.
Right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, Kirby.
Yeah, if you, it doesn't take very long to drive around Shasta County. You can see some of the blight that's caused. And that's one of the differences that's between me and my competitor is that he's focused on marijuana. I'm focused on meth. And there was a picture in the newspaper a few months ago of a billboard up on North Market Street that says meth, you know, fueling Shasta County.
Right.
I think that's very, very true. There's, you know, wholesale neighborhoods, families, homes that have been destroyed by meth. Doesn't typically happen with marijuana.
Right.
And if I'm sheriff, that's going to be my focus. I want to heal some of these neighborhoods, some of these families and homes, and bring people back into the fold where they belong. These folks need to get off the drugs, need to get off the meth, get back to being hardworking citizens and just taking part in community.
Yeah, because common sense, you know, I just believe that, you know, if you legalized it across the board and treated it like you did the alcohol, the restrictions against children and so forth, because it's like with alcohol, you can't prevent a person from getting drunk and dying of alcoholism, but what you can do is prevent them from giving it to kids, you know, driving, all of those types of restrictions. I just think personally that if they're going to kill themselves, they're going to kill themselves, and there's nothing you can do about it. It has to be a decision personally in order for it to change, and that doesn't mean I'm for any of it.
Sure.
You know, I think that you have to be at the local level. If the local level says that, hey, we're against it across the board, then I'm for that. I'm just against the federal government issuing the terms of the issues.
Well, and I think another part of this, and we'll get into what one of my points is for the jail system and for patrol also.
Yeah, we're going to running out of time, so you might want to move in.
When I first started, and this suddenly happened a few months ago, my first plan for the jail was a quick fix, open the entire jail. Tom Basinko had closed the top floor of the jail kind of as a get back to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And people look at me and go, oh, what are you saying? He wanted more money. They wouldn't give him more money. So, I've got to shut the floor of the jail down. those employees, that's the biggest cost factor here, trickled down to other floors of the jail and other departments within the sheriff's department, and they weren't laid off. They weren't let go. They still stayed there. This wasn't a cost-cutting measure that he did. This was simply, I'm upset. This was a tantrum.
I see.
And the same thing happened with work release and work furlough, which were two very successful programs. Work release and work furlough actually made money for the sheriff's department. Now, how many programs do you know that actually make money for law enforcement agencies? None.
I was just going to say, little and none.
Doesn't happen.
Zero.
If you pull the budgets from the years that that program was in place, it actually made money. It paid for all the staff, paid for the buildings they were in, and all the projects they did. And they did really good stuff.
So there is a rub between the sheriff and the Board of Supervisors because they provide the funding. Not too crazy about the Board of Supervisors at this point either, but then, you know.
They provide, he submits his plans and what he needs for funding, and they declare what they're going to give him. And he has to deal with it. There's a different way of doing business. And my suggestion, my way of doing things is going to the District 2 supervisor and saying, you know, Supervisor Moody, what kind of problems do you have going on? Is there something in Centerville I can help you out with? Well, yeah, Aaron, as a matter of fact, you know, they've been tagging the trucks over here and vandalizing the water tower over here. Is there something you can do about that? Boy, you know what? I've got just the guy in mind for you. And take care of his problem. And it's politics on a bigger scale, I understand. But all of a sudden, he can turn around, and people who will sit there and argue with me, well, there's no money. There's no money.
Right.
Go to the meetings. Go to the Board of Supervisors meetings, and you'll find out there's lots of money. It's just what's a priority.
You know, that's it. There's money there, but then again, how are they spending it and prioritizing it?
That's right.
And, you know, the Board of Supervisors has been doing a lot of stuff that a lot of the local constitutionalists completely disagree with on
right.
the water,
right.
on everything.
Right.
See? And yeah, I'm not going to go there because, you know. But
you can understand what I'm
yeah,
saying.
I do.
There's a different way of doing business rather than harming the people you're sworn to protect, the citizens of Shasta County, and
right.
shutting down programs. There's a different way of doing it. And you can keep these programs up and running. You can keep those doors open. There was no reason for this revolving door at the jail. This was a decision that was made and backfired. And we, the citizens, have paid for it. And some of us have paid dearly. You've lost cars, homes burglarized, property destroyed and lost forever, all because somebody got angry.
Interesting. What about realignment?
Okay, let's go with realignment. So it took
he was waiting for that one.
It took him a year to get a budget, just to do the budget. And if anybody has had a chance to look at the budget, it's not much different than what you or I would do at home with our personal budget. And when you're thinking of public works projects like this, you're thinking of probably a lot more detail. And there's not a lot of detail. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of slush money in there. And Supervisor Keogh called it correctly. Don't like the fact that there's $1 million of slush funds in here. It's not a good thing. So,
how do we get, records for that accountability? I mean, how do we go in and see what they spent all their money on an individual basis? Can you get copies of that?
You're supposed to be able to get copies of it. Good luck. Go talk to Mr. Foreman, the West Foreman, who was the chief probation officer. He is appointed by the judges. And so the accountability is with the judges only on him. You don't vote for him. You can't elect him. You can't get him out of office. Go have a meeting with the judges and let me know how that goes, because you're going to have a hard time.
Somebody should be able to cough those records up, or, you know.
I think you
have the transparency.
I think you can get a copy of that, the basic budget that they have, via the Board of Supervisors, and it should be online.
But that's the basic. I want details.
Yeah,
I
good mean, luck.
Yeah.
They don't have them.
They don't have details.
Don't
so
have
we
it.
Don't know if these guys are spending it on junkets to Hawaii or...
Well, according to Mr. Foreman, they need to have that money available to spend on different projects as new needs come up. I'm not sure what new needs he's talking about. This stuff's been around for a long time. There's nothing new here.
That might be a good pet project for somebody out there or us to go in and
yeah,
see.
To do a little investigating. $7.6 million
is what they were granted, and that's what they're working with. In 4 years, they'll have a total of $29 million thrown at the realignment here locally. I have a plan for some of that money, a small amount, like under $1 million, to build a cheap jail down on Veterans and Breslauer. And what I'd like to do is use the modular type buildings and just house inmates, warehouse bodies, put up a training center down there, let these guys learn how to work on cars, learn how to weld, become an electrician, a plumber, use their hands, work in the food service industry, but get these guys some training, real training. And if they don't do it, they're in jail. there's a hammer that's hanging over their head. That's the only way some of these folks are going to be held accountable. And some of the other things that are frustrating is mandatory sentences. People who are sentenced a certain amount of time, they're not doing it here in Shasta County. And finally, because I know I'm running short on time.
You are. We're about a minute left.
There is a prison in Susanville called the California Correctional Center. It's not the big, massive prison that we're thinking of. It's a smaller prison that's designed for the inmates who work the fire crews.
I see.
And it's going away. It's being closed up. And I propose that as a group of Northern California sheriffs, we come together, go to the governor, take that facility over for $1 a year, and house our long-term inmates in that facility and train them to work from these fire crews.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, that would work. It is.
Yeah, very good.
And that's some information I don't think the people realize.
How much time
that.
We got left, Rachel? 30 seconds.
We've got inmates who are sentenced to Shasta County for 10 years. We're going to get sued by the ACLU, and they're going to be forced out of our local jail. This is the place they need to be working on right now, and your current sheriff has no plan towards this at all.
All right. Okay. Well, we want to thank you, Aaron Moretti, for coming in.
MorettiForSheriff.com.
And we hope to have you back soon.
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well.
You are born an original. Don't die a copy. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It's force, and force like fires at Interserve and the Circle Master.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. 5 terror suspects in the United States now for trial, flown in from England after years of fighting it. 2 already pleading not guilty in Connecticut federal court. Arraignment in New York City for 3 others, including the radical Muslim cleric Abu Hamza el-Masri.
Not a formal hearing, really. It's a formal presentation to the court, just to go before the judge. The pretrial hearing is due to happen in a couple of weeks' time, and then the trial itself could take years.
Sky News correspondent Hannah Thomas-Peter in New York. Abu Hamza is accused, among other things, of setting up a terrorist training camp in Oregon. The 2 suspects in Connecticut are charged there with using an internet company to run websites supporting terrorism. The Pope's former butler is convicted of stealing and leaking private letters exposing infighting and allegations of corruption at the Vatican. He's sentenced to 18 months in prison. For now, he's under house arrest. Father John Walks, a priest at the Vatican.
It seems unlikely that he'll spend time.